neither could be healed of any, came behind him. Hallelujah. Came behind him. Lost my spot. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Chuck, open us up in prayer tonight, please. Amen. Now listen, this passage here, this is what you call a twofer. This is a twofer. You know what a twofer is, amen? Jesus is there and he meets Jairus and he's going to go heal her daughter, but on the way he runs into this other woman. Interestingly enough, both of them afflicted. One's 12 years old. The other one's been afflicted for 12 years. I mean, just the timing and all that is impeccable. But the Lord, he's going to heal this little girl. But on the way, he runs into this woman with this issue of blood. This is what you call a twofer. This is a two-for-one thing. Amen? Ladies, you know what a twofer is when you get two for the price of one, right? At the store, that's what you call a twofer. Oh, I got the price of one, but we didn't need it. It doesn't matter. Amen. There was two for the price of one. I had to get it. You know, that's how that stuff goes. But you men, you know how that goes, dove hunting, right? And you shoot one shot, and here come two dove down. Amen. Ever happened to you? You ever done that? I did that one time. Amen. I'll never forget it. I hope it happens sometime again in the future, but I'm not counting on it. It's just one of those things you don't plan. It just happens. I was talking to John Childers. He got two gobblers, two turkeys with one shot one time. One came up right behind the other one, and he shot the one and killed them both with one shot. Amen. That's what you call a twofer. I was talking to one person one time. I don't know, it was Brother Wayne. That might have been one of his hunting stories, though. I don't know. But said something about he got two deer with one shot. Amen. That's a good twofer there, isn't it? When you can get two with one shot. Plenty of times fishing, I've caught two fish in one cast. Amen. Not with a net either. I'm talking about with a pole, but you have two hooks on there or a double treble hook or something like that and get two fish. On one cast. That's what we call a twofer. Amen? Hold your place there. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. You know how the Lord answers prayer a lot of times? He'll do twofers. Amen? Sometimes he'll do threefers. Sometimes he'll do fourfers. Sometimes he'll do fivefers. Yeah. The Lord, see, we think the Lord's going to answer my prayer, but what we have to keep in mind, the Lord's not just going to answer your prayer, he's answering a bunch of other prayers too. And the Lord just with one fell swoop, man, he'll just take care of a whole bunch of stuff at one time. That's what he's promised here. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Brother Ray, I don't know what to pray. Then just pray. The Lord will take care of the rest. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so what the Lord does many times, we'll be praying for something, asking the Lord to do that, but when we're wondering why the Lord's taking so long or why he isn't answering our prayer, but what the Lord's doing is he's working that thing out with a bunch of other stuff coming in at the same time. So the Lord will do that a lot of times when he answers your prayer. He might answer more than one prayer at the same time. Amen? Get you a twofer, do a threefer, a fourfer, whatever the Lord wants to do in that thing. He can do more than one at one time, is what I'm saying. But here in this passage, we have two different miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performs. First of all, there in verse 43, we see this woman, and she had an issue of blood for 12 years, it says in verse 43. She spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She came behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. You can just imagine the woman in this position. Hold your place there now and look with me in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 15, and the Bible said what needed to be done if someone had what this lady had. I want to make sure I'm speaking in a way that's honoring to the Lord in church and everything else. But if you could imagine, ladies, it being that time of the month for 12 years. That's what this lady's dealing with. That's what this lady's dealing with. Look here in Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 25, if you could imagine such a thing. Verse 25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness, she shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue, shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. Whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. Whosoever toucheth those things that shall be unclean shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. This woman just unclean. She's just unclean. She's in a terrible situation. And you got to think back then, they didn't have a lot of these products that they have for ladies now, if you know what I mean. Amen? My wife, one time, got me to pick her up some of that stuff at the store. Never again. Never again. I said, no, no. She said, don't use me anymore in illustrations after this morning. You made it sound like I don't like cleaning the church or something. I said, no. I was trying to get, all the ladies agreed, you clean, and then it seems like it's dirty again. That's all it was. She don't like using me in illustrations. But this is my illustration. I'm the one that had to go to the store, amen? I'm the one shopping around looking to make sure I get the right stuff and then going up to the counter. And I ain't doing that. No, no, no. I'd rather carry her purse in the store than I would do that. Amen. That ain't happening anymore. Anyway, let's move on quickly. But you have to write, this lady in this physical condition that she had, now that's a bad situation to be in. Could you imagine constant, the cramps and the pain constantly for 12 years? Yeah, that'd about drive you crazy after a while. Could you imagine such a thing? All of her garments constantly having to wash her garments every day, constantly anything she sat on, and she couldn't sit down. She couldn't be around other people. She couldn't touch another person. Could you imagine the plight of this woman? Separated, weak. I mean, just with an issue of blood constantly, you can imagine how weak she was all the time. I mean, her blood count was just down all the time. It says she spent all that she had on doctors and on physicians, looking for a way to be healed, looking for a way to recover from what she was up with. And she couldn't. She spent her whole living. She didn't have any money left. She didn't have any money. She didn't have any friends. She didn't have anything. She didn't have any hope. And then came Jesus. Amen. And I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ shows up, there's hope. Amen. Hey, without Jesus Christ, there might not be any hope. Listen, the doctors might tell you there's no hope. Family members might tell you there's no hope. Your boss might tell you there's no hope. But I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, there's hope. There's hope in the Lord, thank God. And you need to just look at this thing and apply it spiritually for a second now. Think about this. All of us have an issue. All of us have an issue, whatever it might be. And we all got a blood problem. We sure got an issue with our blood. Our blood's no good. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. We couldn't do it. We're just dead in our blood and dead in our sins. And we're separated from God. And we're unclean. And we're helpless. And we can go to education. We can go to religion. It couldn't do anything for us. No matter what we did, we couldn't find any relief. We couldn't find any hope. And then, guess who showed up? Jesus showed up. You know what we found in Jesus Christ? What this woman found? Virtue. Hallelujah. She found virtue in Jesus Christ. Hey, you know how you find Jesus Christ? You find Jesus Christ just how this woman found him. You know what she did? You know what she did? She touched, listen, what'd she touch? The border of his garment, the hem of his garment. Where do you suppose the hem of that garment was? You think it was up around his neck somewhere? It was around his wrist. Where was the hem of that garment at? Where'd she have to go? Huh? She had to get all the way down, right at his feet. Right at his feet. That's where the border of that garment was. That's where she had to go. Hey, if she was going to find any help, if she was going to get any relief, if she was going to get any hope, if she was going to find any virtue, where was she going to have to go? She would have to go way down. She didn't mind. She didn't mind. You know what? This woman was sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what it takes for some people to get saved? You just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what it takes for some Christians just to make up their mind that, you know what, from now on, I'm just selling out for Jesus Christ. I'm just going to live for God. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take you getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sick and tired of this world, and sick and tired of the lies, and sick and tired of the disappointments, and sick and tired of all this world has to offer. It's not down here. And if you'll just get down at the feet of Jesus Christ, you'll find the virtue that you're looking for. And she touched him. He said, "Who touched me?" And Peter, and they're saying, "What do you mean, who touched you? You got everybody in the world touching you." They were all touching him, but she touched him. See what I'm saying? There's one thing to get a touch from God or to touch God. It's another when it's real. I mean, that's a real touch she got right there. You know why? She was in a position where she was willing to do anything. That's what the Lord's looking for. You know what happens to some people? They get saved, but they just kind of barely get saved. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, I needed to get saved. And some people, when they get saved, they get all the way in. You know why? They're looking for something real. They're sick and tired. Amen? And once you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, well, you'll get real with Jesus Christ. And you'll get way on down there. And you'll just get that touch that you need. You get that touch, you'll never be the same. She wasn't. Immediately, man, virtue. Virtue came out of him. Immediately, something had changed. Something was different with this woman. And notice back there in Luke chapter 8 what it says in verse 48, what he says to this woman as she's been healed. Verse 48, he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort." Hey, that's what you're going to find in Jesus Christ. You'll find some comfort in the Lord. He says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith hath made thee whole. Hey, all it takes to get saved, man, is just be willing to get down and believe and get a touch from Jesus Christ. That's all it's going to take for you to be healed. That's all it's going to take to get virtue from the Lord, to get your life changed. What was the result? Comfort, peace, hope. She had that all. She found it all at the feet of Jesus. Amen? And that's where it's found. It's going to be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many doctors she'd been to. I don't know how many shrinks she had been to. I don't know how many family members she had gone to and asked for money or asked for help. I don't know how many other places she had looked to find the relief that she couldn't find. But when she came to Jesus Christ, she found everything that she needed in him. Amen? I thank God. I had looked all around looking for something that was real. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of all the junk and all the lies and all the filth. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. I just heard about this man called Jesus. And buddy, one day I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to get down. I'm just going to get low. And I'm just going to believe. And best way I know up, I'm going to reach. I'm going to try to grab a hold of just the border of that garment. And if I can, I know things will be better. And they sure were. Amen. From that moment on, man, something happened. Something changed. Listen, it doesn't matter what your issue is. It doesn't matter what your issue is, and I don't know what issues you got. I don't know what's going on right now. Maybe you've got a financial issue, or maybe you just got a sin issue, or maybe you're just depressed, or whatever. Whatever's going on. You know what you need to do? Just get down. Just get down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Just get a hold of that garment. I'm telling you, that's where the virtue is. Amen? That's where you're going to find hope. That's where you'll find relief. That's where you'll find peace. That's where you'll find comfort. Just with a touch from the hem of his garment. Amen? Looking it up now, let's go back to verse 41 and notice Jairus is the first one that meets him here, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. Now think about that. He's a rabbi of the rabbis here. You talk about a religious fella. Talk about a good, upstanding man in the community. I mean, this is a fella that I'm sure to the best of his ability obeyed that law, wanted to please God, lived a life dedicated to the service of the Lord. The best way he knew how and the light that he had. And he fell down at Jesus' feet. How about that? He knew where to go. Just like this woman did. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Now, she was dying. She wasn't. But Daddy knew, my daughter's dying. I got to do something. What would you do if your child was dying? Huh? I've seen parents with a sick kid like that sell the house, sell the cars, mortgage everything they can, beg and borrow everything they can, going around every convenience store putting up jars with little posters in them, please help. You would do the same thing. If it was your child, you'd do the same thing. This man, he's doing everything he can. You know what? He can't figure out anything to do, and then he hears about Jesus. He knows where to go. He went to Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, I'm in a position now. Ain't nobody can help me. My religion ain't going to help me with this one. The doctors can't help her with this one. Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. Lord, I'm coming to you. Lord, could you help? Amen. And on the way, of course, he deals with this woman with the issue of blood. Yeah, but boy, if it wasn't for her, maybe he would have been to that daughter in time. Oh, no, he was in time. Amen. He was right on time. He went there right when he was supposed to, because he knew that she was going to have to die first. Amen. So that he could do even a greater miracle. We wonder why the Lord allows things to happen sometimes. Listen, all I can tell you is the Lord's always willing to do a greater miracle than you can imagine. Amen. Now you think about this fellow. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a good man. Why him? I mean, why not somebody that deserved it? Well, who deserves it? Who deserves to lose a child? Amen. Who deserves? You can't say anybody deserved that. See, it's not about deserve. It's just a fact of life, man. It just shows you it ain't down here. Why anybody? And Jesus comes in there and he says, "Oh, don't worry. She's not dead. She's just sleeping." Now they've all been in there. They had the doctors in there. They had the other fellows from the synagogue. They were in there. They saw. They know she's dead. They come out and Jesus says, "Don't worry about it. She's just sleeping. She'll be all right." They all start laughing at him. They all start mocking him in front of the whole group, laughing at him. You know what they didn't realize? Not only was that the great physician that had just healed that woman of her issue that was there with him, but that one that was right there with him, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amen? That's who was there with him. Right in front of them was the resurrection of Almighty God. Right in front of them was Aaron's rod that budded. Amen? Right in front of them was the one that could bring life from the dead. They had no idea who he was. "I am the resurrection and the life." And he comes in, and all he has to do is touch that girl and say, "Maid, arise," and immediately her spirit comes back into her, and boom, here she is, coming right up out of that bed, man. Can you imagine mom and dad seeing that thing? Can you imagine Peter, James, and John as they were in there looking at that thing and seeing what their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to do? I can't imagine what that must have been like. I know this much. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know where you were before you were saved? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ said, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the gospel. Amen? If you're lost and you're without Jesus Christ, according to that Bible, you're dead. You're separated from God. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. You're separated from God. You're dead, according to God. You have no fellowship with God. You can't know God. But thank God for that day when Jesus came your way, amen, and just gave you that touch and said, hey, get up. I'm here to give you life. Wake up, amen. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit in whom the children of disobedience. But now Jesus Christ has raised you from the dead and given you life and given you opportunity and given you hope. That's what Jesus does. Amen. You're not dead anymore if you're saved. So quit acting like it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody shout. Somebody act like you're saved. Anybody here been risen from the dead? Maybe you still need to get those grave clothes off you or something, but thank God, man, you've been risen from the dead. You're alive. You have hope in God. Praise the Lord for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to come by when you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and just by the power of His Word, resurrect you and give you life. Amen. Only Jesus Christ could do that. Religion couldn't do that for you. Baptism couldn't do that for you. No church could do that for you. No preacher could do that for you. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Amen. And there's hope. There's hope, and that hope is not to be found in science. It's not to be found in education. It's not to be found in the next election. It's to be found from a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever gotten that touch? Amen. That's what you need. He'll give you life. He'll heal you. He'll help you. The Lord can do all that. But now I just want to take this one step further, if we could. I want a big picture in this passage. I don't know if you saw it or not. Maybe you missed it. In case you missed it, let's go back and look at it one more time. Look with me, please, in verse 40. Verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, I'm sure they were still going about and doing the things that they had done their whole lives, and I'm sure they were still going to work, and they were going to their synagogue, and they were doing their worship services, and they were spending time with the family and just going along with the way things life had always been. But at the same time, there was an anticipation. See, Jesus, they heard that Jesus was coming. They knew that Jesus Christ was supposed to be coming back to them at any time. And you know what the Bible says? They were all waiting for him. Amen? You know what we're all doing here tonight, brethren? Hey, I know I'm preaching the Word of God. I know you're hearing the Word of God preached. I know we're thinking about and praying about things going on this week in our lives and everything else. But you know what we're all doing? You know what we're all anticipating? You know what we're all looking forward to right now? Hey, all we need is for Jesus to come back and this whole show to be over with. Amen. We're all just waiting for Him to return. That was what was going on at this point in time when this thing happened. Where is He? Is He here yet? No, I don't know. Well, He said He was going to be back, didn't He? Yeah, He said He was going to be back. But I don't know where He is, but I know He said He'd be back. So I don't know. Just be patient. Just keep waiting. I'm sure He'll be here someday. And they would say that. And then the neighbor and then somebody else was saying, oh yeah, I heard He came back and we missed it. No, I don't think so. I don't think that happened. When do you think He's come? Well, I don't know. Well, I've got a calendar and I think I got this thing figured out as far as when He's going to be back. And then of course that didn't happen. And then some people got discouraged because He didn't come back when they figured out on their calendar He was supposed to get back. But hey, you don't need to get discouraged about all that. You know why? He said He's coming back. And guess what? If He said He's coming back, He's coming back. And listen, I don't know He's coming back, but I know He's coming back. You say, how do you know that? Because He said He was coming back. Why do you think they were waiting for His return? Why do you think they were looking and hastening unto that day when He would again show up there? Because He had promised them before He left that He'd be back there, and He came back just as He promised He would. He always does. Listen, I just celebrated last week on the 19th of July. I celebrated 25 years of being saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. 25 years now, I've been knowing Jesus. That's wonderful. I think in just about 3 more weeks, I'll be to the point in my life where I've been saved longer than I've been lost. For the first time in my life and for the rest of my life, I'll be saved longer than I've been lost. I've never known what that is before. But that's coming up pretty soon. I don't know, maybe some of you are experienced that. If you get saved when you're 6, oh man, praise the Lord, after 12, man, it's all gravy. You've always been saved longer than you've been lost, amen? Hey, you get saved, what? Henry, how old were you when you got saved? 59, so when he's 108, amen, that's something to look forward to. All right, listen, whenever it was you got saved, you got to double that, see? And that's when you'll be saved longer than you've been lost. And all I know is from that very time I got saved, the first time I heard that Jesus was coming back, you know what I've been doing for the last 25 years? Well, listen, I've been trying to serve God the best of my ability. I haven't always fulfilled everything He wanted for my life. I know I've disappointed and let down the Lord lots of times. I've been trying to do my best to take care of my family, and I've been trying my best to do a good job, whatever God's given me to do, and try to be faithful to Him. But that whole time, as I've been just going through life's motions and all the things around, and going to churches and going to revival meetings and everything else, and I've enjoyed the trip the whole way. But you know what I've been doing that whole time? I've just been waiting. Just been waiting, because I know from that time I got saved, I heard Jesus was coming back. Amen. I knew He was coming back in 1989. I just knew before I ever graduated Bible school, Jesus would be back. But guess what? He didn't come back. So you know what I started doing? I just did what I always did, waiting. Amen. I'm just waiting. I'm still waiting. And I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I'm waiting for Him to come back. I'm looking forward to Him coming back. I sure hope He hurries up and comes back. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter if He comes back before I die or afterwards, He's coming back. Hey, this young girl here, she had a hope that maybe she'd have never died, but that hope went away, didn't it? See? When the Lord comes back, who's He coming back for? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, you talk about a twofer. Amen. That's what's going on right there. You've got those that are alive and remain, and you've got those that have died. When the Lord comes back, they're all waiting for Him when the Lord returns. Hey, that's all we need is for Jesus to come back, man. This whole thing get fixed. This whole thing get taken care of. There were so many there just wanting to see Him, just longing to see Him. Hey, you know who really wanted to see Him? This woman that was sick, she really wanted to see Him. Amen. You know Christians that have real health problems? Christians that have pain all the time. Christians way up there in years with frail bodies. I bet you they're looking forward to Jesus coming back. If you're not, I bet you they are. Amen. I think about Brother John dealing with that ALS. I'm just like, Lord, would you please come back before he has to get any worse? Would you please come back, Lord, and heal him now? Give him that new body. I think of Sister Helen, with the dementia and all that she's suffering with now. Lord, would you please come back and give her new mind? All those in our own congregation here with aches and pains. I think of Jan Smith, my first pastor's wife, with degenerative bone disease, where her bones are just falling apart in her body. She has like aching, you know, like a real bad growing pains. She has that throughout her whole body, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You think she's looking forward to seeing Jesus? Amen. I bet you she is. She can't even walk out of a fear that she might break a bone just by putting that much pressure on it or reaching out for something and trying to pick up something. She's an invalid. I think of Micah up there in Ohio. Good Christian man. Buddy, you get around Micah, you can't help but smile. That fellow's just got such a joy. He's got such a glow on him. He's just one of those people you want to be around. But Micah can't run and shout, although he'd like to. Micah's in a wheelchair with a neck brace. It's a young boy, 12 years old, I think, diving in the pool. Broke his neck, paralyzed from here down. He can move this arm just a little bit, just enough to operate the wheelchair. Have Mama change his diaper 10 times a day. Been doing that, what, for 35 years now? You think he's looking forward to seeing Jesus come back? You know why I want Jesus to come back? It ain't just for me. See? There's Christians out there right now, I bet you they're just wishing today would be the day. And they know he's coming. They heard he's returning. And they're just looking forward to that day when he comes back, when all those problems will be over, when everything will be taken care of. How many of you got a loved one that you know is saved, They're dead. You had to bury them. Aren't you looking forward to that day when you get to see him again? When the Lord returns? When Jesus calls back? Just had to preach another funeral? I'm sick of preaching funerals. Amen? I just want to be invited to a wedding. Amen! I just want Jesus to come back, man. Let's get out of here, Lord. Let's get it going. Hey, you looking forward to Jesus coming back? Are you really waiting for him? Is that what you're looking forward to? Don't let this world suck you in. Don't let this world get your heart and mind off what's really important and what's about ready to happen. And we don't know when, and I don't know when, and I don't claim that I got it all figured out, but I know it's going to be soon. I'm telling you right now, you ought to be anticipating it. You ought to be looking forward to it. Hey, the Lord promised he's coming back. We ought to be waiting for Jesus to come. Until then, hey, we're going to be busy serving. We're going to be busy doing what he wants us to do and trying to stay faithful because we know he is coming back. And when he comes back, we want to be found doing what the Lord called us to do. But that Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery." Hey, why did he tell those parents not to tell anybody? "Behold, I show you a mystery." Listen, when the rapture happens, the Lord ain't telling everybody what happened. It's done secretive. Amen. That's what you got going on here now. This is the Lord coming back. There's a rapture here. He says, don't tell anybody. This is a secret. Amen. They're not going to know what happened. They're going to know there's a bunch of empty graves. They're going to know there's a bunch of empty churches where Christians used to go to. It may be empty planes and buses and taxis and all the rest of it when the rapture happens. Amen. They're not going to know what's going to happen. God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. They'll think UFOs came and got us or something, whatever the case. But listen, when we're out of here, it might be secretive, it might be a mystery, but he said, "I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but you shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we in our blood, with our issues, with our separation, with our uncleanness, we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Hallelujah! I long for that day. I look forward to that day when the Lord comes back, and it ain't a mystery anymore. Hey, he is coming back. He is coming back. And I don't know what issues you have. I don't know what health problems you have. I don't know what sorrows you have. I don't know how many loved ones you had to bury. But you got hope. Until then, listen, until then, could I give you some advice? Just stay down. And just get all the virtue that you can. Just keep looking. Just keep waiting. He will return, just as he promised. Let's stand for prayer. You say, when's the Lord coming back? You know when he's coming back? I'll tell you when he's coming back. He's coming back right on time. You understand that situation right there? Just at the right time, he showed up. Just at the right time for that woman. Just at the right time for Jairus and his daughter. Just at the right time, he came. He returned just when he was supposed to. Brethren, don't give up hope. Don't get your roots too far in down here. We need to start listening. We need to be getting ready. He will return. Father, I pray you bless the message. God, we thank you for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing in the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we long for that day when you do come and get us. Lord, I know many of your people, God, they're hurting. Many of them are struggling. Many of them just trying to keep their head above water. And Lord, I know the cure. I know how to fix every problem that every one of them has right now. And Lord, we know you're going to come back right when you're supposed to. I don't know when that is for sure. but Lord, I believe it'll be soon. So help us, Lord. Help us just to spend some time at your feet, talking to you, bringing our requests, our concerns, and our petitions. Lord, I pray we'd get a little virtue from you while we're down here. Or did you just spread your garment our way and provide and help us until you come back to get us? I'll be so happy, Lord, when every issue is resolved and fixed for sure. When every saint that's had to have been buried will be raised. Lord, we all get to meet you in the clouds and forever be with the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised to come and get us. Help us, Lord. Help us to keep waiting and to keep watching until you return. And I ask and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals. We'll sing a song before we close tonight.